I just want you to know that I hate you.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode, Season 10, Episode 11, Sibling it's not rivalry. I've already forgot what it is.
Revelry.
Of course it is. You've passed my little test. You're your host, Tara and Sarah.
That's sibling revelry. Hello, everybody.
More like unravelry. Hello.
Nice.
My butt.
Indeed. Your butt. Shall we get into it, Sarah?
Sure.
All right. Starting with our B plot, very much B. Steve, new parent stuff. Steve and Janet bring the baby back to the Walsh house. Steve is, at first, hypnotized, gazing into the baby's face, and then declares that they'll need a gate on the stairs. And Janet points out they have almost a year to put those up, and then they both stare at the baby and talk about how happy they are. It's a lot of responsibility, but they are both confident they're up to it, until she cries and they mildly panic, which is, like, very predictable, but also kind of cute, where they're like, oh, shit, this is real? They let us take this thing home?
Yeah.
Believable. When Kelly and Dylan come to see the baby, Steve refuses to hand her over until they have washed their hands with antibacterial soap, which honestly, not a wild demand given how we saw Dylan handle a turkey in the last episode.
Yeah, really. In fact, put him in a hazmat suit. Jesus.
Seriously. David, Gina, and Nat are behind them with boxes of food from the peach pit, of course, while Steve continues shielding Maddie from view. And then Matt is there with a gift and gets right in to grab her before Steve can object, which is cute also. Matt has apparently brought a Snuggly, one of those little baby carrier chest things, but Steve scoffs at the idea of taking Maddie for a walk in December and anxiously takes her back. But later, Matt models the Snuggly and makes Steve give him the baby so he can show how it works. And Steve is agog that it actually stopped Maddie from crying. Dylan comments to Kelly that Matt is good with kids in a very portentous tone, like, you are not dating, nor do you even know if Kelly wants kids. Shut up, but we will get to them. And at night, Steve lectures Janet about why babies aren't supposed to sleep on their stomachs. And Janet is like, she's not. He's being so ridiculous and extra. Like, I love how she is. But anyway, the baby is, I will note, sleeping in a bassinet with a shitload of fabric bumpers under a blanket, which babies are also not supposed to do either of those things. But I guess they didn't know that then. And Steve is like, what if she rolls over? And instead of saying she's 6 months away from being able to roll over, Janet says she's going to be sleeping when Maddie is sleeping. So good night. But Steve is worried that the baby's not moving and unimpressed when Janet says it's because she's asleep. So Steve does what no parent would ever do and jostles her awake just to make sure she's not dead, I guess. Janet tells Steve he's panicking and that Maddie is going to survive all of life's little setbacks, but will not survive Steve smothering her. And much later, Janet can't find Steve in the house, but it turns out he's gone for a walk with Maddie. On the sidewalk, he is very cutely listing all of the foods she's going to love when she's older. Including donuts, which word.
Mm-hmm.
Janet congratulates Steve on being so brave. And he wants Maddie to be happy and healthy and never know a moment of sadness. But he has accepted that that is impossible. So he's okay being a little bit reckless in order to have fun with her. Lesson learned. Snooze.
Yeah. Get used to these because these three, I guess, are a who cares her for the duration.
Great. On to our A mega plot. Gina and Donna's sisterhood also affect all their dudes, and Dylan becomes an art investor.
Sure. With all that money he has left, that just always refreshes itself.
Yeah.
Eternally.
The center is like, we'll have some of that. No? Okay, cool. Donna has lured Gina to the store on the false pretense that they're slammed with customers, LOL, and needs her help, but really so that Donna and Gina have a chance to get closer while serving said customers. It's probably the best a dumb baby can do to get her down there. But Gina is justly suspicious about Donna's sudden desire to bond with her, but declines to stay and help. And when she's gone, Donna tells Kelly she's going to tell Gina she's her sister when Gina seems like she's in the right mood to hear it. So never. Dylan is then showily appreciating art when Kelly appears, having been summoned. His apology is not great in clip two.
It was bad what I did to you on Thanksgiving. So torture me, okay? I should be tortured with a medieval instrument with a pitted blade at the end of a long stick, okay?
Oh, I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better.
Good.
Huh? Both of you fucking stay away from each other. And yeah. What is that pronunciation of medieval? It's like Smithers is screensaver. And now Mozart. Fucking yeah. Show.
Okay, so he says he's there to buy art for his place. Where? And later we find out he means his suite at the hotel. Like, no, you don't. You can't put shit up. It's not how it works. Whatever. Kelly immediately segues to talking about herself, specifically back to the topic of the store, and that working there isn't her calling, which I thought we dropped like 8 episodes, but apparently not. However, she has no thoughts about what her actual calling might be, unless maybe it's art critic. Clip 3.
You should buy this one.
This one? Why?
The way it's composed, its colors, something about it seems inspired.
Oh, something. Inspired.
Seems inspired.
Okay. So Donna and Noah then discuss her Gina dilemma. His take is that there are people who keep secrets, and Donna isn't one of them. And he's on his way out when she mentions that one of her customers told her about a Harvard alumni party. And since Noah is, as Donna puts it, alumni, no, they should go. And the soundtrack is concerned as Vincent Young tries his best. Is bad to look stricken at this, but we don't find out how. And so when Dylan and Gina end up at the Walsh house together, she tells him she's thinking about leaving LA but isn't sure where to go, and doesn't blame Dylan entirely for the fact that things haven't gone the way she had hoped since she came to town. And then David comes out and makes a stupid face at the sight of the two of them talking. She can see the visual aids. It's one of many stupid faces he makes in this episode.
Oh my god, that asshole.
When Dylan has gone inside, Gina tells David she doesn't feel like being around the group today. Relatable. And he offers to leave with her, but she says he should probably stay with his friends. So then Donna goes to see Gina in her hotel room to tell her something important. First, she apologizes for not being a better friend. Gina's like, whatever. But finally, in a very long clip, Donna comes out with it in clip 4.
Today you wanted me to hang out at the store so we could bond, and now you're saying you're sorry you haven't been a better friend. Did I miss something? Is it be kind to your poor cousin day or something? Actually, I'm not here because you're my cousin. I'm here because you're my sister. Right. Your mom slept with my dad, and she got pregnant with you. What are you talking about? That's a lie. And then they agreed to never talk about it. My father is Frank Kincaid. Until I came across your birth certificate when I was researching our family tree. I didn't expect you to believe me.
This is her looking at the birth certificate.
You should go. We should talk about this. I don't want to talk about this. You should go. I don't know what you're trying to do, but this doesn't change anything. That's funny, because personally, I think it changes everything.
It takes a lot.
I mean, I have nothing but sighing, because they're just not going to distinguish between, you know, being a sperm donor and being the father socially who raises you. So
yeah,
should we care about this? I don't know.
Yeah. So then Dylan shows up at Kelly's to show her the painting, which he has purchased for her. She says she can't accept it, but he insists, telling her that if she thinks it's inspiring, she can look at it for a while and see if she gets any ideas about her future. At the store, Donna, in a hooded shrug, which you can see in the visual aids.
Oh god, it's so awful.
It is truly bananas. She tells Noah how right she thinks he was about which people can or can't keep secrets, and then shows him an ugly dress she picked out and tells him, asks if it's fancy enough for his Harvard classmates. And Noah dodges by saying he thinks she'll look great in it, but doesn't know why she's so set on going to this thing. She is horny to see him as Mr. Ivy League and oblivious to all the shifty eyes he's throwing her. He says he has to talk about something really bad, but then is saved by Gina stomping in to say she hates Donna. Noah tries to defend Donna, but Gina shuts him down. Donna has let Dr. Martin know that she spilled, and he has called Gina 7 times, but he should know that he could call 700 times, and Gina still won't want to talk to him. They continue in clip 5.
Gina, I understand you're angry. I'm angry,
too. You don't understand anything. If you did, you never would have told me about this.
Well, I thought you should know.
You thought I should know what, Donna? You thought I'd want to know that I'm not the poor cousin anymore? You thought I'd be really happy to find out that I'm the only thing that could possibly be worse? The poor sister? You figured I'd want to know that?
No, I thought you should know the truth, that's all.
Right. You wanted to remind me just how miserable my life is. And yours isn't. That was real sisterly of you. Thanks.
I mean, you know, they get into that later on, like the difference between what a father is and a biological father, which you were sort of hinting at earlier. But like, is Gina better off knowing this? I don't know. You know,
yeah.
Like she's well, in her mid-20s.
Especially if we'd find out later that, like, I don't know. I mean, this secret was kept amongst the three olds.
Right.
But you have to assume that there was some payoff also that
Gina
never saw.
Right.
Like, yeah, she's definitely not going to be happier knowing that. And especially since the person she understands as her father is dead. Like, who is this for? To stick it to Felice? Like, I get the instinct, but nah.
Yeah.
Also, if it means you have to bond with Donna, fuck that.
So then Matt comes to the apartment to tell Kelly he's in love with someone else, which turns out to be Maddie. Hardy har har. And then he shades the painting and Kelly admits that Dylan bought it for her and why. And they have the same fight for the 700th time in clip 6.
When I came in here and I told you that I was in love with someone else, that freaked you out a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah.
Good. And I guess I don't have to explain to you how this makes me feel.
It's a gift from a friend, nothing more.
Jill, you cannot accept that.
It's a painting, Matt.
No, it's not. Not to me.
Kind of like...
If you're so tired of taking care of his feelings, dump him.
Yeah.
I'm just so tired of their going around and around and around on this. Like,
it's really stupid because at this point, Matt should take the bull by the horns and be like, look, you clearly are still in love with each other. We can't keep going around like this. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to stop because I am cute and I'm going to take my dimples elsewhere.
Yeah. And I can practice any kind of law on extremely short notice.
Yes.
Cool. Hamilton Law, baby. I mean, really, but then the look on her face when he's like in the, like, joking around about Maddie, she's fucking pissed that he would dare. Like, is it really? That's what you want to be with? Her hair does look good this episode, though.
Yeah, it does. True.
Still.
Yeah, not enough. So then Donna and Noah are out for lunch talking about the Gina situation and then segueing from there into honesty in clip 7.
You know, I look at the way my parents handle things, how they cover up their mistakes with lies, and it just makes me so happy that I'm with someone like you.
A lot of people live with lies, Donna.
I know. You don't. You're honest and decent, and we always like that they drum that into you at Harvard.
I wouldn't know.
Well, my guess is you were like that from the very start.
I mean, I wouldn't know about Harvard. Truth is, I never went. My dad went. I was supposed to go. Things turned out differently.
What things?
Remember the accident I told you about?
Yeah. Of course. Where your girlfriend died. How could I forget that?
After that happened, my father made a large contribution to a local sheriff. He was then reelected, and new charges were filed against me.
What kind of charges?
DUI, reckless endangerment. Look, I'm not saying there should have been charges filed. The point is, there wasn't. I didn't ask for my parents' help. Once I got involved, I did what they said, which meant skipping school and moving to Hawaii.
When were you planning on telling me this? If I hadn't pushed about that Harvard party, would this never have come out?
I don't know.
That's it. That's all you have to say.
I told you people live with lies.
And you didn't tell me that you were one of them.
Who cares?
I mean, A, who cares? But B, is this actually the first time that we've heard that, first of all, it was his fiance when we first heard about it. But is this the first time we've been told that he was driving drunk again?
Yeah. Maybe.
And also, oh my God, I don't know if this is just a dumb baby thing or if the writers actually think that Harvard is like...
I know.
You princes of Massachusetts, you kings of New England, like, but take it easy.
Like, should we really start like listing all of the literal war criminals and, you know, not that this had happened yet, but Jared Kushner's who have gone to Harvard? Like,
let's start with John F. Kennedy, who withdrew from Princeton because he was sick. No, he was kicked out for cheating. Harvard took him. Like, are you joking?
Yeah.
And like you couldn't go to Harvard with something like that hanging over you. I don't actually think they care. But here's my non-favorite part of this. Basically, he's like a serial offender.
Yeah.
Noah. But what she's focused on is that he lied about the Harvard thing.
Yeah.
Like his father bribed law enforcement. But no, the fact that he actually went to whatever Double Rainbow Community College is the issue.
If that, I mean, he didn't, he sounds like he didn't go anywhere. And which, you know, again, who cares? Except for the part where, as you say, this is like one of the thousand things that Noah has done wrong. And like in the grand scheme, like the smallest one.
He raped Belle.
Yeah.
But yes, let's focus on the fact that he's not a Crimson graduate.
God, like of all the things to try and position them to break up, like this,
I know.
Like it really is only because like it would be absurd if they had him rape someone else, you know, at this point. Anyway, David then finds Gina in the hotel lobby to make an extremely unappealing face, which you can also see in the visual aids, while telling her he made them a reservation at a B&B on Catalina Island. She smiles wincingly and tells him she can't. He chases her into the elevator, by the way, panting after running like 8 feet, I assume, due to the drag from his pants, and tries to sell her on Catalina by saying there are wild buffalo there. And he thinks the cure for a bad mood is to get a little drunk, sit on a hill, and look at them. Okay. She tells him she's had a really bad day, but he is not picking up on her cues and stalks her to her room, trying to make her tell him about it in clip 8.
It wasn't more with Donna, was it?
Do you know that we're sisters? My mom and her dad...
That's a little more in Buffalo, isn't it?
Yeah, just a bit.
That's his reaction? Like, they couldn't have one writer be like, maybe he should be like, what? Like, that's a big, big thing for her to announce. And, like, he doesn't know, but he's acting like he did. Like, it's a really weird, again.
Or, like, she told him that something's going to be rained out. And he's like, oh, that's too bad. Like,
yeah.
God. Like, I understand why you're not trying, but I don't have to like it.
Seriously. I mean, the director should be trying. But anyway, finally, David lets her get rid of him by saying she wants to be alone for a little while. It must be noted that her sweater is very cute and that I want it. You can see it in the visual aids. It looks like a hot pink t-shirt over a gray long sleeve shirt, but it's all one piece and it's really adorable. When she takes off her vest, it looks super cute. 1 second after David has left, Gina calls Dylan and says she doesn't want to be alone right now. And Dylan will be right down. Oh, boy. So that's where we are back here. Great. We have more of this to get into. But first, we have a message for Sarita.
Nancy writes us that Sarita, her best friend, did an ad for her back in season 8. Were we ever so young? And that Sarita is, quote, amazing and perfect, and we love to troll Vincent Young's Insta account. I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, Nancy wants to let Serena know that she's the opposite of a squeef and to hear on Again With This how much Nancy adores her. Aww. And to make her laugh. And while we probably can't top Vincent Young's Instagram on that score, it did get us thinking about five noteworthy Instagram accounts Beverly Hills 90210 characters would make.
Just a reminder, before we begin, we said noteworthy, not good. Any hoodle? Here we go. Take it away, Tara.
Number one, Brenda Wash, whose timeline would be equal parts fluffy mutts she rescued from the street or liberated from laboratories. By the way, not that different from Shannon Doherty's actual feed.
I know, right?
Regrams of influencers styling their thick, glossy, perfect bangs and subtweet posts snarking on the Dillwig 75 account she thinks it's Dylan's. It isn't. Dylan is obviously a social media conscientious objector.
Number two, Steve. Hope you like out-of-focus shots of microbrews and all-too-in-focus shots of fart lighting and Lakers body paint.
Number three, Deshaun Hardell has an official account, but the real gems are on his secret Globetrotters underscore history account.
Number four, David's vintage vinyl boy-y account is exactly as insufferable as you might expect, but you might enjoy hate following it, if only to feel smug about the many usage errors Lord Pissface makes while captioning himself holding a Charles Mingus album wearing archival gloves. Shut up, David.
Number five, Peach Pit official, because the same brilliant business mind that turned down that sweet mall development money to stay open and give away food to these stenods obviously thinks it'll be a cinch to monetize a social media account.
Yeah, the less said about the infamous take a picture with Meg A. Burger promo, the better. Anyway, Nancy tells us that Serena has, quote, made life totally magical for her husband and children. And we hope that this list, and the fact that we left Kelly's online gallery of feline anuses off this list, has made her day. You're the best, Serena!
When we rejoin them, Gina is mid-rant about the biological parentage situation, while Dylan notes that Donna was just the messenger. Gina tearfully says she always thought being poor was just bad luck, but now she knows she was rejected. She doesn't know how to feel about any of this and thinks if she calls Bobby, Bobby will get defensive and say the wrong things. And she doesn't think she can talk to David about it because he has too much history with Donna to be impartial. She's sorry she called Dylan, but she didn't have anyone else to talk to, and he pulls her in to say it's okay. Then Kelly goes to see Matt in his office and tell him very formally that she has decided to give Dylan back the painting because it's important to Matt. It isn't important to Kelly because the gift has no significance as far as she's concerned. But Matt has called the gallery and found out the painting cost $16,000.
There's so much wrong with all of that.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why she has to be like, it doesn't mean anything to me. Like, the more defensive you get about it, the more it's clear it does mean something to you. But also, like,
yeah,
like, you're in doing that, you're acknowledging that you're acceding to Matt's feelings without actually understanding what it is that is annoying to him about all of this. Anyway, Kelly barely reacts to hearing the price, but Matt is already pouting that it's a gift he couldn't give her. And getting annoyed, Kelly says her affection can't be bought, but Matt wishes he could buy her anything he wants. He can't. We know. He also wishes he were secure enough about her and Dylan that his spending money on her didn't bother him, but he isn't. And he shouldn't be, as we know. And Kelly gets frustrated that Matt keeps finding reasons to be suspicious about her and Dylan, but he thinks she's protesting too much. And as we keep saying, she is. And yeah, all Kelly does is roll her eyes. So Matt sees an opening in clip 9.
Don't you see? It's not the painting that bugs me. It's what it represents.
It represents nothing.
I want you to do me a favor. I want you to take some time and I want you to think about that. Search your soul. Whatever answer you give me, I promise not to question it. But if you say you want to be with me, then that's it. There's no turning back. Sound fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Good. Nice groundhog conversation that you've already had, seriously, 81 times.
I know. And the thing is, like, if we grant that Dylan is, like, has a bottomless pit of money, which, like, okay, fine. Like, at this point, we might as well. And, like, if it did mean nothing to him, because he's so rich that it's, like, the equivalent to spending $16, like, he would have done it when she was there. Been like, yeah, I'll buy it for you. Who cares? You know? But, like, that isn't what he did. Like, he clearly wanted it to be meaningful.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's pretending that it wasn't that is, like, Matt is right. It's super annoying and very disingenuous.
Yeah. Well, and that's a lot of money to the others. Like,
right.
I guess, you know, in theory, back in the day, Kelly was also supposed to be rich, but she's never positioned that way now.
Right. Right.
And I think we can assume we've done 10 times more thinking about this than the writers who are content to circle this drain indefinitely.
Yeah.
But, like, that's definitely big dicking Matt.
Yeah,
that,
for sure.
Gift like that. So
for sure.
And like, this is not on Dylan. Kelly needs to tell him definitively to fuck off and never does and lets him put his turkey fingers in her hair. Like, it's like working shadow caster, but so much worse.
Gross. So then David goes to see Gina and tell her the last thing she needs right now is to be alone and talk over her attempts to explain that she's actually not, so that when he shoves his way into the room and sees Dylan there, he is immediately furious that she wanted to talk to Dylan and not to him. So Gina and Dylan both follow David out to the valet stand to try and make him listen. He gets frustrated and shoves Dylan directly into the path of an oncoming car. I mean,
and
it's
then
like
makes a face like Dylan farted. Like,
it's so badly acted. Like, okay, granted, the car is, you know, going like 4 miles an hour. It's at a valet stand, but like, it still hit Dylan and he just falls. Like, he gets right back up. He doesn't seem badly hurt, but David really just stands there glaring at him in silence until Gina's like, you should go, weirdo.
Yeah,
it's
he could have
so
broken
badly
a hip.
Acted.
Oh, it's so dumb.
Yeah. Obviously, I gifted. At the Peach Pit, Gina flips through an album of photos of her with her Matt Getz looking dad. That's the congressman who, like, threatened Michael Cohen's family with violence, basically, on Twitter recently. Jesus. I did a side-by-side, which you can see in the visual aids, but yeah, anyway. Donna comes up behind her, and when she admits she doesn't remember much about Gina's dad, we learn he was a pilot who died when he crashed into a mountain, so not a great pilot. Gina once told him she wanted to be a pilot when she grew up too, and he pushed her on the swing in their backyard until she felt like she was flying. And Donna correctly says
she
that
flew into the side of the house. Too soon? I'm sorry.
So Donna correctly says that biology doesn't make someone your father, actions do. But Donna can't just leave well enough alone and keeps talking in clip 10.
You had a dad and he loved you very much. Nothing's ever going to change that.
Yeah, I wish that was true.
It is true. The only thing that's changed and what matters now is that we're sisters. You know, I understand how you can feel that way. I mean, nothing's really changed for you. You know, your father just has another kid. It's just that now mine doesn't exist.
Donna is so stupid that she can't understand, like, in the same speech being like, biology doesn't make a relationship, actions do, to we're sisters. Like, why don't you let Gina have a minute with this and decide, you know, what she wants your relationship to be, because again, biologically you are sisters, but you're not. Like, stop saying that and stop imposing this on her.
Well, and the actions that define your shared biological father make him a shitbag.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's something to have in common. Also, once again, the fucking yakety sax in the background. Like, finally they dropped the mix down so that the sad oboe could have a moment, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Also, given everything that we know about the Martins, like, I can't believe we've gotten to this point in the story and, like, a large guilt cash payment has not been offered, frankly.
I mean, Felice was willing to pay Ray however much to go away.
Yeah.
This situation hasn't had some money hurled at it. Come on. You're losing your touch, Felice.
So Kelly seems very stroppy when she comes to see Dylan, who's apparently already taken the painting back. She asks why he's limping, and when he tells her, she thinks he's joking. Anyway, even though she was all flirty when he gave her the painting, now she connects his getting between Gina and David to his getting between her and Matt, hinting around about wanting to get back together with him until finally just cutting the shit, and this happens, clip 11.
If you bought me that painting because you think there's something between us, something unfinished, something that's going to keep us from being able to be with other people, then I say we finish it.
We finish it.
Commit to it. To each other. Really commit, Dylan. House, dog, 2.2 kids?
All or nothing.
All or nothing. So we're clear.
Yeah. Yeah, we're clear.
I mean, you have to hand it to her, like, anyone else could have told her. Like, call his bluff. He won't go for it.
Oh, 100%. Yes. So
ridiculous. That's what you like about him. But anyway.
Right. So the next morning, Kelly brings up the Harvard party and Donna eavesdrop as Noah easily lies that all his friends are back east. And when Kelly has left to cover the morning rush at their clothing boutique, LOL. Like, it's not a coffee shop. That's not how shopping works.
Yeah, I had literally the letters LOL in my notes because, okay.
But I mean, like, it's established that it's Christmas time. So like, okay, yes, they might be busier, but there's not a morning rush to buy ugly tops.
That's not a thing.
All
the mall walkers coming in to buy a hooded shrug.
Anyway, Kelly's gone. Donna confronts Noah about lying to Kelly about Harvard. And his position is that it doesn't matter where he went to college, which it doesn't, except that he's being so weird about lying about it.
Yeah, it matters that you lied about it. And it matters that you lied about it because your parents threw an election by bribing a law enforcement officer to get your son out of manslaughter charges. Like, can we maybe keep our eyes on the ball that this dude is just a felon with incredibly great luck?
Yeah. The other thing is that, like, no one would have thought he had ever gone to Harvard if he had not told them that he had.
Yeah.
Like, no when they cared. Met him, right. When they met him, he was, like, working on boats, which, fine. He was, like, another Ray type. And then we found out he was secretly rich, which, again, fine. But, like, you know, when you're rich and, like, you know, living off your trust fund or whatever, like, no one would even assume you went to college necessarily. And it doesn't matter. Like,
Dylan would
never
assume
finished.
You were another Dylan because
right.
That's exactly the role that you were cast to fill.
Exactly. Anyway, Donna says Noah told her not to cover for her parents, and she doesn't want to cover for him either, but he says it's his secret and he wants to keep it that way. Like, yeah, for all the reasons that Sarah keeps saying, like, the crime.
Seriously.
So then Gina goes to see David and tell him that Dylan is okay. David doesn't really seem to care. Gina is also sorry for anything she did to cause him to push a guy in front of a car, and David emos at her to forget about it. He thought he could change her, but he was wrong. There's no us for them. It's just him waiting for her to be done with Dylan. He could have killed his friend yesterday. He feels crazy and like he needs to protect himself from her. So again, we're back here again. Speaking of back here again, Kelly detains Matt on his way to a client meeting to tell him for the 8,000th time that she really, truly chooses him for real this time. And it turns out he actually doesn't have a client upstairs and would rather kiss her a bunch, which fine. And then in the store, Donna tells Kelly the truth about Noah's education in clip 12.
Okay. Ding, ding, ding. Red flag. Donna, I know you love him, but you have to ask yourself, what kind of guy are you dealing with here? I know. I have been ever since he told me. And I don't think he's the kind of guy I want to be with.
Two things. One, you know, when you see a red flag and it makes the noise, ding, ding, ding.
That's only in those driving games.
Yeah.
The TI-499 cartridge computer.
But again, Red flag. This is what's going to be what breaks you up. This, that he represents himself as a Harvard graduate, is a rapist.
Who pronounces it Mozart? Like, if you didn't figure out for yourself, the hallowed halls of the Ivy League were perhaps not ones whose air he had sniffed. It's sort of on you.
Honest to God.
Okay.
So then David goes to tell Dylan that he and Gina broke up. Dylan doesn't want to apologize for something else that isn't his fault, but figures out this isn't about Gina. And then the show remembers that David has diagnosed mental health issues in clip 13.
You ever been depressed? It's like having these walls, you know? They just keep closing in until you feel like you can't move.
What do you need?
I need us to be friends again.
That'll help.
I'd like that.
No, you wouldn't. He's terrible.
I mean, he might like it if it meant he doesn't get pushed in front of any more Range Rovers, but other than that...
Also, well, whatever. I'm not going to quibble. Perhaps that is some people's experience of depression. But Jesus, I need, like, Dylan is your therapeutic answer to this problem?
Yeah. Also, like, Dylan is trying to say he's never been depressed. I don't buy it. Mm. So then Gina drives up to a tidy little craftsman cottage and tells the lady inside that she used to live there, but hasn't since she was about 7. So I guess this is the retcon of the Denver retcon, whatever. The
also,
current owner.
Since
yes.
When can poor trash afford that cottage? Like, it's not that little and it's a craftsman.
No, it's true. Yes.
Come on.
The current owner invites her in, which does anyone ever do this in real life? It happens on TV and in the movies all the time. And it's like, if anyone showed up at my door, like, I used to live here, like, great. Bye.
That did happen to me once.
Really?
At my parents' house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was like the reunion weekend for my high school. And they had both gone there, like, in the 40s.
Right.
And they were like, oh, we used to live here. We would bring boys to the garage and make out with them, and I was like, oh, I did that, do you want to walk around? And they just like stood in the hallway and looked around, and then they left.
All right, well, I stand corrected.
But they were raisins, like, it was not
sure.
It's not gonna be a push-in situation,
right? So Gina recounts all the ways that the house has improved since she lived there, but the swing is still in the tree, and the extremely nice owner goes in to answer the phone and promise to come back out with lemonade. Gina goes straight for the swing, kicking up her platform sneaker heels because it's 1999. Then, although I guess those are back, so who am I to say? So then Donna and Kelly wrap up at the store. Donna's done for the day and doesn't care if Ivana Trump comes in. I couldn't even stand to clip, but I had to note it. And when Matt has schmooped off to wait with a coffee while Kelly and Donna close, Donna gets pensive in clip 14.
Okay. It's official. You guys are too cute. All right. I will do the cash. You're also so disgustingly sharp. One, two,
right.
Three.
You are sure about him?
Of course I'm sure. I think. Let's hear it.
It's nothing, really. Last night, I kind of, sort of, proposed to Dylan.
What? Proposed? Like, will you marry me proposal?
No, no one got down on one knee or anything, but I did mention picket fences and a dog and our future together.
What about Matt?
What about him? I'm still with him. Donna, the reason I asked Dylan was because I knew he would say no.
Ugh, that's kind of weird, don't you think?
No, I think it makes perfect sense. See, I let him know that it was all or nothing, and naturally, he chose nothing.
And if he hadn't?
That wasn't going to happen. Donna, I love Matt. He's honest and kind and safe and secure.
But what if Dylan had said yes?
But he didn't.
What if he had?
I don't know what I would have done. know.
You would have chosen you. We'd have facts and evidence.
I mean, this time she might not have. It's not between Dylan and Brandon this time.
True. Yeah.
I mean, that whole speech was obviously positioning him as like, he's the new Brandon. He's safe and steady and boring.
Who, Matt? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Bray's a lot less than the old one, so that's fine.
Well, he does. But yeah, the one thing I like about that speech is the two of them interacting like friends actually would. Like Donna being like, all right, give it to me. And when she said, I proposed to Dylan last night, I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, this is one of the few scenes in this episode, at least, where people are reacting in recognizably human ways.
Yeah.
And especially like, here.
Yeah.
That show, you know, that remind us they have known each other forever and ever.
Yeah.
But otherwise, very dumb and very annoying. Let's close it up by naming our most valuable player.
The Harvard
Janet
admissions office.
I'll say Janet for not losing her mind as a new parent. Usually it's the mother, but she has her head screwed on straight in terms of what you can and can't do with a baby, unlike Steve.
Yeah, I'm still going to say Harvard Dean of Admissions.
Fair. Least valuable player. Matt, for not just pulling the fucking trigger and breaking up with someone who does not like him.
Sheriff takes bribes a lot.
Also fair.
I mean, actually, whatever. Like, he saw us opening and he took it. So,
sure.
Noah.
Yeah. Dead Noah's dad.
Stop
also.
Drinking. Stop driving. Stop drinking and driving. You're a rapist and a felon.
And if you're not prepared to answer questions about it, stop telling people you went to fucking Harvard.
Yeah.
This all could have very easily been avoided. You are even dumber than we thought.
Yep.
And now let's do the Kim challenge.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
Five ways from this episode, Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. It's bad to spend five figures on that real ugly painting.
It's dangerous to get David so territorially mad at you that you get shoved in front of a car. It was moving, barely.
It's bad to that easily accept an apology from someone who pushed you in front of a car when he just says, I'm depressed. Like, yes, but
yeah.
No.
It's bad to keep fucking with people's relationships, even if you don't exactly mean to. And I really don't think he has any intent, but somehow that just makes it worse. Like, stop interacting with these people. It only causes them pain and you don't care.
And if you, and again, it's also bad if you must, which don't, but pick one. I'm just saying, like commit to one or the other. This is wasting everyone's time, including your own. That makes five.
Agree. Next time on Again With This, Billy's cab driver gig gets him a stalker. Kelly still can't get over Jake, and Michael gets in trouble with Jane for forgetting some relationship milestone, which will seem like fucking Sunday school compared with his later antics. Speaking of antics, you can enjoy those for this episode of Again With This, and all the other episodes of Again With This, our visual aids, which are on our website, that's againwiththispodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @AWT90210. And if you're having technical or other troubles involving the visual aids, like why do we do this to you? Email us. That's hello@againwiththispodcast.com. I'm conflict painting Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Harvard Club domain squatter Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Snuggly Therapy David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.